Okay, so my name's Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust on the 21st of July 2009 at 12:42 in the morning. If I could ask you to tell me your name, your age, and where you come from, please.
Right, I'm Paul Coombs. I am 48 at the moment, and I'm living in Suffolk at the moment, but I hail from the north.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Can you tell me when it was you first found out about the One Another project?
I can't remember exactly. It was before the first draw, obviously. I was surfing the net and I came across it. I can't remember exactly how. And I thought, that sounds like fun. Put my name forward.
So what was your motivation to get involved? What was it that struck you?
It just seemed like a good idea. It's something, there's only going to be 2,400 people that ever get to do it. So why not be one of those? It was a whim, if you like. But yes, I also thought I might have an impact on my daughter. She's at art school, so I thought maybe I can be an original work of art. So here we go.
And how did you feel when you received the telephone call or the email to say you had a slot?
I didn't actually believe it. I was, very sadly, I was listening to the Archers, and they didn't get onto the plinth. So I thought, oh, that's the point. The draw was on Monday. I wonder if I've got in. And I checked and I got in, and I thought, no, that's not right. And then I saw the time slot I got, and I thought, no, that's definitely not right. And the cynic came out, and I thought, well, yes, that's because all the celebrities would have got the daytime slots. And then it was perhaps the work of 2 minutes to decide, well, I'm going to accept it anyway. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. I've got a slot. I might not get another slot by putting it back, so I took it. So there we are.
And what is it you're going to do when you're on the plane?
Well, I'm going to camp, but there's been a slight change of plan because I had brought myself a kettle and I'd intended to make a cup of tea and some porridge and sit there and do proper camping, but the rules have changed since my original plan in the original phone call. So the no naked light, if I'd known that beforehand, I might have been able to improvise with electricity, but having found out this evening it's a bit late now, we'll improvise and see what happens.
And can you expand a little bit on the significance of camping for you?
Camping is something that I've always enjoyed doing, and it's normally something that I do to get out into the wilderness, to get away from people. And the irony of camping in the middle of Trafalgar Square, in the middle of everybody, somewhat appeals to me. It's a bit of a paradox, really, to go camping to get away from everything in the middle of everybody. So it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is you do and what you do in your spare time?
Right. I joined BT from school. I'm still working there 30 years later. I've done a lot of geeky stuff in that time. Started working on telephones, telex machines, telephone exchanges. I'm now a project manager, but I'm still a geek at heart. Out of work, I shoot archery. It's my main hobby, but I've also got interests in photography, scuba diving, and cycling quite a lot. That's when I can fit it around the needs of my family. I've got three children who are more expensive than they've ever been. Say the eldest is at art school in London, which is a very expensive place to live. My son, I think, is going to go to York in September. And my youngest daughter's still at school. But they all have needs that always seem to come far, far above my desires. So that's the life of a father.
Thank you very much. Who would you say you're doing this for?
Me. Yes, it's interesting that, and there's the art angles for my daughter. I've dragged my family down here this evening to come and watch me, but predominantly it's me. I am something of an exhibitionist, if the truth be known. Where better to do it than the middle of Trafalgar Square? But I won't be taking my clothes off.
What is it you're expecting to gain from the experience? question.
No. I mean, the only thing I'm actually expecting to gain is a new experience. My daughter does call me a serial lifestyle gatherer. I keep trying these different things. It's something I've not done before. And as I said before, it's something that not very many people are going to get the chance to do. So, yes, it's something I'll be able to say, but something to tell the grandchildren and embarrass my children with. But yeah, that's why I'm doing it. And there's just a little bit of fun as well, because we have a... BT's a very big company, and I've got an online community of friends and colleagues, some of who will be tuning in this evening, and I've got a little message for them, which is a little bit specific, and it's a bit of fun. It's not rude, but it contains some interesting in-jokes, which I don't think I need to divulge here, but they'll get it. And I'm going to give somebody a prize of no idea what for the first person that actually lets me know via email what my message said and what the mistakes were in it, because we have something of a grammar police going on the internal news groups. But that's just something extra, that it's a little bit of added spice.
And what kind of impact are you hoping your hour on the plinth would have, and maybe the project as a whole would have?
I would hope that my hour, from what I've seen, there's been quite a lot of passive participants, and I think mine might be a little bit more active. My wife is concerned that I won't have long enough, but I think now that I'm not making my porridge, then perhaps I've got a little bit more time to spare. I'm hoping that it might inspire some later people to give them a bit of idea of what they might do, because coming up with an idea is a little bit daunting. A whole art for art's sake, it's there. Why climb the mountain? Why do it? That's what humans do. It's what makes us different from the rest of the animals. So a bit of philosophy as well.
Thank you. What things would you say are most important to you at the moment?
Well, top of the list is of course the family. Said earlier, all my wants and desires are play second fiddle to that. They've supported me in this. They've all turned up tonight. There's been some moaning about the hour, but they'll all be out there. After that, it's new experiences, finding out about the world. I don't travel extensively. I don't particularly like hot climbs, so. But there's still a lot of things to experience, a lot of new life experiences to try out, and that's what we do.
And what hopes and fears do you have?
Oh, this is the world peace and war, isn't it, question. Personally, it's politics time. It really upsets me the way that we can't get on and look after ourselves and the planet. We are motivated by greed. Yes, there's all the arts and things, but greed will destroy us. And that's the biggest fear for my children. For me, I think I'll probably be the life out, but whether we'll be able to keep the planet going for very much longer, who can say? The Armageddon scenario. It's not a nice thought, but that's the only real fear I've got in life. Yeah, there's nothing personal about regrets or missing out on anything. We do what we can as we're here. But what do we leave for everybody else? And what difference can I make as an individual? Sometimes I feel as I am trying to bail the ocean out with a teacup. And you think, well, why should I bother? Because if I don't, then who else is going to? Sometimes I just get a little bit fed up, and I seem to be the only one that's doing it. So, more philosophy.
Very going back to the plinth, how are you feeling an hour before you go up there?
A little trepidation. More about whether I'll fit everything onto plinth. I don't think I'm particularly bothered about the hecklers, because I'll just take my hearing aids out, so that won't bother me. I know I'll embarrass my children, but that's my role as a father. So, but I'm a little bit more nervous than I thought I'd be at this stage, and I think that's more to do with the publicity and all the preparation and everything. I'm not particularly frightened of the height. It's not very high at all. In fact, if anything, it's a bit of a disappointment. But there's no real major anxieties, but because it's not as if I'm doing a performance or anything. I'm not a performer, so I've not got any stage fright or anything like that.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.